You're listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and this episode is in partnership with Givaudan. In these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a TV presenter and a writer, and I specialize in food and science. Today's podcast is titled Nourishing a New Way of Life. Our world is changing in ways that we have never imagined, from the way we live and work to how we socialize and entertain ourselves. It is constantly evolving. But how has the last year of life changing events impacted on the way we nourish ourselves? We're joined by our panel of experts from Givaudan, market leaders in taste and well-being innovation, to explore just this and to take a wider look at the new opportunities to shape the future of food and beverages. Join us to discuss this are Bashak Oker, Head of Consumer and Sensory Insights for Europe.
Hello.
Danielle Van Hees, Category Manager for Snacks in Europe.
Hello.
Marta Kuzniers, Category Manager for Sweet Goods and Dairy, Europe.
Hello.
Nelly Vlasblom, Product Manager for Beverages, Europe.
Hello.
And Virginie Philippe, Category Manager for Culinary, Europe.
Hello.
Now, let's start by talking about your consumer research study. Bashak, what was your approach in understanding new consumer behaviours linked to the new normal?
So in order to understand the consumer behavior changes in multiple food and beverage categories and also healthcare, we interviewed more than 5,000 consumers. So 5,450 consumers to be exact in 10 countries, ranging from Italy, France, Netherlands, South Africa, Russia, UK, Turkey, Spain, Poland, and Germany. So a long list of countries. And we did that using an online survey platform. We also reviewed a vast amount of external insight reports from multiple insight providers. We received feedback from our customers who are active in food and beverages. And we also used our social media listening tools to look at social media insight, what consumers are talking about, and utilized at-home videos from consumers to enrich our insights. And after we reviewed all the insights, we compiled them into Fortrans and analyzed the consumer behavioral changes.
So can you explain the four key trends that you've identified as guiding the future of food and beverages beyond the new normal?
So for the past year, we have lived in an unprecedented situation globally. So we were all in it. I think everybody can relate to that. So due to the COVID-19 pandemic, more than half of humanity, that makes like 4 billion people in 90 countries, have been on lockdown at the same time. So this has never happened before, or at least, you know, what we can tell already in our lifetime. And what happened to us is we already started seeing some consumer behavioral changes appearing. And as any company working in food and beverages, we anticipated consumer changes. And the question on our mind was, so what will be the changes that will stick even after the pandemic? Okay, there is a reality right now, but what's going to be next? And where shall we recommend our customers to go next when it comes to innovation? So for that, we identified four themes. And the first theme we call is called safe, secure, and sustainable. And this one is all about going back to roots, traditions, and also local produce and food. During this stressful time that, you know, consumers were going through, of course, their number one priority became their health and the health of their family. So what happened is like hygiene suddenly became a top priority for everybody with all our hand sanitizers, right? And new terms like social distancing appeared and wearing a protective mask became the new norm. Now we'll even see designs of that everywhere, right? Before it was just one color, now lots of colors. And at the same time, consumers were also looking to food for a sense of security. And what does that mean is like this translated into going back to their roots when it comes to food and beverages. So for example, traditional local delicacies, flavors and dishes that they know that are familiar to them. The second trend we identified is called balancing health with treating yourself. So as you know, you probably did it yourself as well. Consumers indulge a lot on food to be able to bear the emotional stress because that's what we do as humans. Like, we do other things, of course, but food is one of the first things that we go to. And as the crisis went on, Some started fearing weight gain, because if you eat all day, right, there is a result and that's weight gain. And they started putting more emphasis on exercising and eating healthier. This translated into consumers paying more attention to what they were eating and wanting, for example, low sugar, low salt, low fat food and beverages at their current moment and also in the future. So it wasn't just about physical wellness, but they also started paying more attention to their mental wellness. It became much more important. And it resulted in consumers wanting more cross-category food and beverages that could help boost their immunity and vitality, and immunity becoming really important as well. So to improve their mood, and also to, again, help them relax. Somehow consumers developed a sense of preventive health, and they also wanted innovation to support strongly this new behavior in the future. Another trend we identified is called value for money. So in the start of the lockdown, consumers would spend whatever they had to ensure they were covered in terms of food and beverages, but not just, you know, everybody also bought a lot of toilet paper. And as the crisis evolved, many people lost their jobs or, you know, they were put on partial unemployment. So they started thinking about money, how it's becoming more important in their lives. So they started rethinking the money that they dedicated to food and beverages. So how did it happen? You know, so some consumers became less loyal to brands and they started purchasing more private label products, both due to, you know, price sensitivity, but also lack of availability as well. You know, they might go to their supermarket and it's not there. So they had to try some private label products. On the other hand, consumers tightened up their connection to their local and national brands because it was more available, and they also found them reassuring. Last but not least, we have a theme called gourmet experiences at home. So what that one means is, because we could no longer be entertained outside of our own homes because everything was closed, right? Consumers started to recreate out-of-home experiences or gourmet experiences in their own home around food that they could no longer get due to closed restaurants or limited takeout availability. I think it's getting slightly better now with, you know, everything in place when it comes to takeout, but a lot of restaurants are still closed in Europe and, you know, consumers have this feeling of recreating what they could experience before. So they started to cook more, to bake more, or again, you know, if they were interested in boosting their immunity, they created their own immunity boosting recipes. And we also saw on social media a lot of grandmother dishes coming back. So looking at old recipes, cakes, coming back into fashion. Also consumers utilized cooking as a way to reconnect with their families, friends, to create excitement for the whole family, or to, again, to occupy their free time. Some people acquired new hobbies or skills via social media and online chef classes. So they had new skills in baking, for example. And the virtual world was really there as a way for them to kill boredom and escape. So that's, in a nutshell, the themes and trends we observed.
Okay, so Marta, with these four key trends in mind, what are some of the new solutions that Givaudan has come up with to keep up with the evolving food and beverage preferences of consumers?
So as we heard from Bashak, there is different trends that we search for, that we found through our consumers. And from the sweet goods and dairy perspective, how it looks like, that we came up with some concepts, with some product concepts to taste and to express all of these new trends that are coming up. What does it mean, maybe a product concept from Givaudan perspective? It's a sample of a product where we taste, where we test our flavors and botanicals. So we create a prototype that could be used for our customer to explain to him how this product, when he then manufacture it, could look like and taste like. And I will explain you with some examples. So safe, secure, and sustainable, that's where people are looking their security. We created a concept called Eco Warrior. So we know that the people become more responsible, eco-responsible, thinking about protecting the planet. And in the same time, we also know that the plant-based products become more and more popular. So that's how people try to find a different way of eating and searching for different products on the market. So we created an oat-based yogurt, which is a spoonable yogurt. It's dairy-free. It's also very appealing for the vegan part. We use some botanicals in it, and we also use some dairy masking products to a bit reduce the oat off notes.
Danielle, looking at the safe, secure and sustainable trend, how has this impacted snacks in terms of consumer needs and purchasing behavior?
Well, Stefan, what we have seen from our consumer research, if you look compared to the other segments, we can say that snacks has been very positively impacted since the start of the pandemic. Consumers didn't stop eating snacks, they even consumed more. And as they are more working from home, socializing at home, entertaining themselves, they're really looking for a more convenient snack that can give them that moment of pleasure. And what you see is that snacks can really fulfill that need. So across AAMI, consumers said that during this crisis, the main important snacking moments are during the day when they are, you know, want to have something to boost their energy, and in the evening while watching television. So what you see for these moments, they are really looking for snacks and flavors that can support these needs. So snacks that can provide them with more functional benefits and flavors that can help them through the day, or the need for security and comfort when they are looking for more simple, classic flavors for those in-home sharing moments, knowing that the whole family will enjoy these snacks. And what we've also seen is that consumers said that they are buying more local brands because they trust them more to deliver high quality products and give them that sense of safety they need in these uncertain times.
Nelly, what's been the impact of COVID-19 on the beverage industry, and what are the major changes that you've seen from a health perspective?
The beverage industry is one of the segments which was very much impacted by the COVID-19. The lockdowns of the countries, the closure of the bars and the restaurants led to a significant reduction of beverages by the consumers, and therefore to a significant reduction of the turnovers of beverage manufacturers. On the other hand, we also saw that consumers started to look differently at beverages, which opens up new opportunities for the producers. Considering the major trends that were described earlier for the new normal, we can see that balancing health with treating yourself is clearly a big play in the beverage segment. In general, we see that consumers pay more attention to the back of the pack, the beverage formulation, and look more than usual for natural ingredients and clean label. In addition, we see that they look more for positive benefits, health benefits. And from the study, we see that the immunity, mental health and digestion benefits are in the top three. Also taking care more of the negatives on the beverage perspective, which is alcohol consumption. Majority of the consumers reduced the consumption of alcoholic beverages, and the big enemy in beverages is definitely also the sugar, and the reduction of it is clearly mind for consumers, also in the context of the pandemic.
I mean, you mentioned that in addition to attention for the functionality of beverage, the focus is on the removal of negatives like sugar. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sugar reduction is the main trend impacting the beverage industry in the past few years, in the present, and expected to be in the next few years. It's not a new trend. It's been there already for a while, but we see that it came through even stronger in the new normal and since the beginning of the pandemic. And as an example, since that beginning of the pandemic, 25% of the consumers is more interested in no low sugar products and products that are sugar free. And that is probably related to the fact that in the media you see there is a strong link between your weight and the impact of the coronavirus on your body. So a way to take care of your weight is the consumption of sugar. And consumers are well aware that there is in many beverages quite some sugar.
Now, Danielle, I'd be interested to hear about how balancing health with treating yourself affects snacking. How do you think this crisis might influence trends in the longer term? And will this be the new normal?
Well, as already highlighted by Nelly, consumers are becoming more and more interested in the labeling of the products. You know, they feel more safe consuming natural products and they focus more on the transparency of the ingredients list. They are less willing to buy products with an ingredients they do not recognize. There's really a need for more simple language that consumer will understand. And we really need to help consumers, supporting them in explaining on how they could read the label and what that indicates. What I would also say is that manufacturers should really consider sometimes reformulate their products to minimize the risk that consumers will not buy their product because it has these undesirable ingredients. So new innovation in food and beverages should offer consumers a more clear and cleaner label by using, for example, natural ingredients, more simple ingredients, a shorter list of ingredients, or even flavors that are built based on kitchen ingredients. And coming back to your question about balancing health with treating yourself, I think this is a real big struggle for consumers. Balancing the need for this emotional uplift by treating yourself, and on the other hand, making sure that they stay safe, healthy, and fit. Consumers, the keeping healthy and safe, consumers also pay more and more attention to the nutritional information of food and beverages. And I think the introduction of the Nutri-Score will play in a very important role to guide consumers in ranking the healthiest products to those that are, let's say, less healthy. And I think finding this right balance between better for you food and beverages and that need for indulgence is really key. And therefore, at Givaudan, we're doing a lot of research, consumer research, to better understand, for example, what a better for you snack means for consumers. What are their needs and expectations in now and in the future? So what we already know is that a better for you snack for a consumer should be natural compared to a regular chip. So shorter ingredient list, minimal processing, no artificial flavors. A better for you snack should also have less these undesirable ingredients, what's already mentioned by Bashak, lower fats, lower sugar, and less salt, for example. But it must also be very enjoyable. It should have a nice flavor. It should have more impact in flavor, and especially compared to the products that you see now on the market. Consumers clearly said that they miss a little bit this really taste intensity. So based on these insights, we developed a range of popped snacks with a Nutri-Score B, which is really appealing for consumers that are looking more for a natural, guilty-free indulgent snacks. And it contains these healthier ingredients like rice, chickpea, and lentil. And they are lower in salt and in fat, which consumers see as these undesirable ingredients. And to really create that moment of enjoyment, we developed flavors that really complement the taste, including also our masking tools to cover that bitter aftertaste, what you clearly see when you use more healthier ingredients, and also the dryness of the base. And for me, my favorite is the one that we created with the chickpea. Here's a small example. So it's a popped base, where we looked at, if you look at chickpea, how is chickpea used in the kitchen? Also linking into the trend that Bashak mentioned on this gourmet experience. So what you see, for example, is chickpea is a lot being used in hummus, which is a very popular snack, or let's say spread now from the Middle East that you see more across Europe. And we said, let's then create that type of flavor on this chickpea base to really complement it. So what we created is a hummus flavor with pomegranate, which gives that nice touch of sweetness.
And Marta, if we look at the same idea of balancing health with treating yourself from the sweet goods and dairy category, what does that look like?
Well, consumers are increasingly looking for food and beverages that actively support immunity and preventative health. They're also craving for a good comfort food. So those that are looking for this, we try to indulge them with a concept, which is called calming white chocolate, which is a treat that offers both sides, so both words combined together, infused with chamomile extract, white chocolate to promote better sleep and relaxation for a really, really comforting sweet treat.
Now, let's move on to the next consumer trend that you identified, which is value for money. Now, in these uncertain times, consumers are seeking more value in the products that they choose. Nelly, can you tell me how this impacts beverages?
Yeah, in beverages, funny, the value for money means that the consumers shop for products to ensure that their money is well spent. And this could mean that consumers carefully look at the price of the product and what they want to pay for a beverage. And that is something that we really saw happening the last few months. Since the beginning of the pandemic, more than a third of the consumers bought less premium beverage brands and was moving more towards private label products. In addition to the cost focus, value for money also means increasing the value of the product and creating additional benefits and experiences. And this is clearly, there's lots of opportunities to do that in beverage applications.
And Marta, how does the value for money trend affect the sweet goods and dairy segment?
So economic impact of the pandemic is well known. We all mentioned this while speaking. Unemployment rates across the world were higher and higher. The price of certain products are really getting and rising and getting, some products are really getting difficult to get. And also people tendency to consume less premium products, what was mentioned by Bashak, that very often they cannot find them in their around the corner supermarket. So they also go into the private labeling. So cheaper does not mean, value for money does not mean even only cheaper, because it's also something that they are looking for more beneficial and well-rounded products where they really know on which product they are spending their money on. Cost-effective innovation will be a key success for the food and beverage industry. But consumers are also looking for additional benefits, what was already mentioned. Since many consumers are now feeling this financial pressure and turn more to the local or maybe regional brands and seeking for this value for money, we develop a concept which is called Value Hunters, a really exciting concept with coffee and creamy dessert, which could be produced by the private label manufacturers. It's an indulgence dessert, which offers still a dairy-free pudding with white topping. It's really enjoyable through the whole day. It's rice and cocoa butter, so really, really creamy desserts with some chickpeas, offering really a value for money as having this healthy hello, healthy benefit, but also delicious cream treat.
And Danielle, what about from the snacks perspective? Can you give us your opinion on the value for money trend?
So what we see is that consumers are now largely buying their snacks online and in the supermarkets. And that really means that they are making more these conscious choices on what type of snacks they want to consume. So based on our research, the highest impact that we see in this crisis in relation to value for money in snacks, it's very seen in crisps. We found that consumers between the age of 18 and 34 bought less premium products. And I guess that is not really surprising, especially as you see that the group 18 between 24 has been largely affected by the uncertain economical situation and the high youth unemployment rate. So for this group, it's really important to stay in contact with them to understand what they need. So at Givaudan, we have an online platform, which we call Consumer Advisor, and that can really help us to connect with them and to understand what are their needs and what is important for them in food and beverages. And with this, we can really identify new opportunities for new product formats, new type of flavors that can help us grow the business with our customers.
So combining some of the major trends that we've discussed, what could a new product look like for beverages, Nelly?
For beverages, we created a series of products anticipating on the new normal, combining the trend on one hand, where health is very important, but also keeping an eye on the value for money, is a series of seasonal colas. They are designed to have a new experience for each season of the year. So for spring, summer, autumn, and winter. So it could theoretically be produced by one of our private label manufacturers, and therefore keeping an eye on costs and making it reasonable. And it's 30% reduced in sugar, and therefore anticipating on the health. So therefore, I'm showing you here the winter cola, which is with a flavor of a gingerbread, and giving you a very nice winter season experience based on our seasonal cola series.
Bashak, based on your findings from your consumer research and the four key trends, what do you recommend food and beverage manufacturers do to succeed with new product development in the new normal? What are the success criteria?
I think everybody who spoke before me, they already gave a lot of tips and tricks. Like, we saw a lot of concepts that are, or they sound delicious at least, even if we might not have the opportunity to taste them. But if we put them in a nutshell, if we think about what consumers told us that they need, and if we start with the security part, we believe future food and beverage innovation should focus on providing long-term security to consumers, but at the same time, create products that have a simple and locally relevant taste. That's because, you know, they would need to have some familiarity, and manufacturers can do that by focusing on simple and local. And also, we mentioned a lot these new at-home experiences that consumers are, you know, exploring with. And manufacturers, what they can do with new innovation is they can help them create new rituals with the products that they bring into the market. Indulgence is really important, yet, you know, we also need to tick the box when it comes to serving consumers' physical and well-being. So for that, you know, again, manufacturers can think about how do I come up with great tasting products, but at the same time offer health benefits or, you know, add value to somebody's general well-being. And finally, if, you know, there's going to be any new innovation that's going to win, there needs to be a perception of the right balance of value for money. So it doesn't always mean cheap, but I think the right price needs to be there. And also the value that consumers perceive to get from it should be relatively high. So if a manufacturer does all these things or think about it, we believe they would be successful now and also in the future.
Now, Virginie, I'd like to discuss the final trend with you, which is gourmet experiences at home. Now, in relation to restaurants and food service, which, of course, been quite heavily impacted, how has this trend affected the culinary world?
Indeed, I mean, restaurant and food service were one of the most hit by the COVID-19. In the Givaudan culinary team, we had the opportunity to extend the consumer research study that Bajak already mentioned earlier, into the food service area. So we had the opportunity to run a different interview with internal, but also external chefs. And what we saw is really this new out-of-home consumption. Consumer will really take time before to go back really to restaurants. And the out-of-home consumption is really what is becoming the most new way of differentiation. So they will be enabled by digitalization and experience with a new takeaway. So this takeaway, they need to be unique. They need to give a premium experience and overcome all the challenges that consumers complain at the moment with the takeout. One new thing as well is on the semi-ready. So the semi-ready meal here, it could be a new takeaway offer that bring convenience for both consumer and the chef.
And can you share any other consumer trends with us that have affected restaurants and food service?
Sure. I mean, there is two trends that really pop up as the most important. The first one we mentioned a bit already with the safety, the security and the sustainability part. So food safety is really clearly the priority number one for the chef, reassurance from the supplier is a must have, clearly. And some chefs will turn more to a shorter and faster supply chain. So really with a small local producer to be able to have the more and more transparency possible to share with a consumer. On a different trend that we found in our extended research is also flexibility. I mean, chefs will have to be even more flexible, show new creativity, change the menu depending on the supplies that are available, and make the maximum amount of dishes with a minimum amount of supplies. So they look for more ready and convenient solutions because clearly at the moment they have less staff, and especially in the preparation area. So flexibility as well, because with all the different waves of lockdown, with the restaurant opening, closing, they really have to push on this on this trend.
And you mentioned the rise of delivery and takeaway orders. I can imagine that this is an area that's crucial and interesting to your business.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in addition to baking and cooking from home, the situation that we are now is also accelerating the uptake of home delivery and takeaway services. Services like Uber Eats, Grubhub, Deliveroo, and so on, they were already growing before, but now they are really like exploding. So in the UK, according to Statista, we saw that 60% of the 16, 34 years old have already increased their frequency in their food delivery in the build-up to the lockdown. And there are 26% that plan to increase even more during confinement. So really, really a big change. But in the meantime, I mean, with the lockdown, the confinement, food is becoming more important as a source of pleasure, entertainment, and people are clearly changing their daily habits here. So for me, there is really two things happening. The first one is that consumers, they are substituting the missing option of eating out in the restaurant, in pub, and so on, with ordering in. So it's not only like pizza and pasta, but many more culinary global and local cuisine. This means also a sudden inflow of new customers, also for all players along the supply chain. And the second thing that we saw as well, is many restaurants which in the past didn't bother too much about diversifying their sales channels, and now they are being forced to very quickly to innovate to keep their business alive and their customer happy. So they have to create a new idea a bit outside of the standard delivery, the standard takeaway that we saw. And that's why we saw, as an example, many fine dining restaurants that deliver like a very high quality multi-course dinner, or also some meal kits to reproduce at home.
Now, just last question is follows on from that, really. The way that restaurants operate has changed, and they'll probably never be the same again. Based on your findings from your consumer research and the key trends from a culinary perspective, where do you see the new opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, indeed, we see some new opportunity as a result of the pandemic. So, for example, we can see the full rise for the plant-based product from new product launches, but also to new dedicated menu from the restaurant. With all this new protein alternative, it helps also to open the door for many new culinary opportunities and an abundance of products for a diverse range of consumer. Another example as well might be the new differentiation created by the COVID-19. I mean, it could be from the digitalization of the restaurant, so all the menu on QR code, for example, but also the chef podcast. But it could be also the essence itself of the restaurant. So how they can create a new identity with new inspirational kitchen in a different way to deliver a passionate culinary experience. And that's what we see as well with some new way of working that start to appear with specific system, like the ghost kitchen that becomes almost like a new classic now.
As positive as they could be. Well, Shaq, Danielle, Marta, Nelly, and Virginie, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been absolutely fascinating. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode is in partnership with Givaudan. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from the circular economy to alternative proteins. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Tabletalk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.